This is an ABC podcast.
The COVID-19 pandemic.
Delta.
Omicron variant.
I hope everybody likes staying at home because we are going to go into lockdown forever.
Remember at the end of 2020, everyone was like very keen for this awful COVID thing to be over. Well, we're about to wrap up our second year in the pandemic. And I think I kind of blacked out a lot of the COVID stuff now that restrictions are lifting. Like just how long those lockdowns went for, all the AstraZeneca problems, the very slow vaccine rollout at the start. Hello, Avani Dias here. Yes, it's our last week of Hack for 2021. So each day, we're looking back on the biggest events of the year today, that is COVID, and I want you to call me. How did coronavirus affect your life this year? Maybe you got it. Maybe you lost work. Maybe you couldn't see family. Any stories, I want them. 1-300-055-36. And yes, we've got amazing guests in the studio. Bryce and Ebony from Triple J Breakfast.
Ebony, hey. Thank you for having us.
No, what's thanks up, for coming on. Obviously, we spent a lot of time together in the pandemic. What was it like for you guys? Did you feel weird doing a radio show through COVID?
There were so many different elements to it, right? Like I think we had, obviously there was the camaraderie of just the people that you see every day in the office, right? Mm-hmm. It was what the 10 max of us that were here. And I think with the audience, we sort of had this real bond with people that were getting up at like 6 a.m. doing that essential work, and they were kind of on the way to the office too. It wasn't stopping for them. But then it also kind of brought out this all sort of different side of people as well. And I think we came into this year being like, yeah, we'll do festivals, we'll do everything normally.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit of a roller coaster, man, which is such a cliche, but yeah.
It was. And Eb, you're a DJ. Yeah. I mean, it would have been so weird for you not being able to play gigs.
Yeah, it sucked, man, because that's like my outlet to kind of be more creative, I suppose. And I was playing a couple gigs where people had to sit down. And that was a nightmare.
Sit down.
Ooh, turn up.
That is
such
so
a nightmare.
Funny.
Yeah, it was the worst. So yeah, I'm so grateful that I had this job because otherwise would have been hectic.
Yeah, I want all your calls. 1-300-055-36. Guys, it is also my last week on air at Triple J, which
and
is
we're gonna miss
sad.
You.
I'm going to miss you guys too. But we've been like looking through the archives of stuff that we've done together. And I remember last year you did this prank on us where you made us be like commercial radio stars.
Of course.
And
I'm still, yeah, why didn't you use that? All that stuff
well,
we made.
Then at that time you was filling it on Drive. We did that cross like we just did.
Yeah.
And then I convinced you successfully that I was annoyed at you about it. It was a bit embarrassing for me, you know, to be involved in that. It actually kind of undermined me as a journalist a bit.
Oh, God. We're not journalists. We're just little rats. We don't know how to know about stuff.
It kind of made me look silly a bit.
So you didn't use them or what?
No.
Hmm. Well, you know, it's a choice,
making,
I suppose.
You're making me feel very uncomfortable, babe.
Got owned by Logic.
She did.
On Triple J.
She did dunk on us.
That was great. I feel like that was my best prank ever.
Yeah.
Like,
you're
Ebony
welcome.
Was freaking out. You
you're
could
welcome.
Hear that.
Yeah, I felt really uncomfortable.
Yeah, that,
I felt very awkward.
One of the Hack producers was recalling this with glee, the look in Ebony's eyes when that happened. So I'm glad you guys
so
got
funny.
Someone out of it, man.
All right, let's talk a bit more about COVID.
Hack. Overnight, it was confirmed Omicron has made its way to Australia.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
On Triple Jack.
Yeah, imagine if I told you at the start of the year that we would end up going through some of the longest lockdowns in the world. The federal government was acting like it was all over. They wound back welfare payments. A couple of good things from the pandemic are sticking around, though, like telehealth psych appointments. That was announced today. Now, as restrictions are lifting, it feels good, but scientists are sussing out whether Omicron, the new variant, is going to affect our summers. Today, for example, 600 clubbers, people who went clubbing, had to go into isolation because 60 people got COVID at a bar in Newcastle. But news just broke just before the show that WA is finally going to reopen its borders to the rest of the country on the 5th of February. Call me. How did COVID affect you? Did it ruin any of your plans? How are you feeling about it as restrictions lift? 1-300-055-36. Here's Shalala Madura. She's reminding us of what happened this year.
2021 started with a whole lot of optimism that the worst of the pandemic was behind us. but parts of Sydney and its surroundings were already facing restrictions.
The subject of the Avalon cluster essentially came from two events, a bowling club and an RSL club where there was activity.
And by February, parts of Victoria were too. By this point, Melburnians had endured months of lockdowns already, and everyone was confident this would be the last.
This will be a 5-day short, sharp circuit breaker.
Spoiler alert, it wasn't. The federal government was so confident that the worst was behind us that they scrapped the JobKeeper program and wound back the COVID supplement on JobSeeker payments.
Workers and businesses are bracing for a hit this weekend as JobKeeper is switched off. Around 150,000 jobs are expected to be lost when the subsidy winds up on Sunday.
A lot of those jobs were in industries that impacted young people, like retail, hospo and the arts. The government announced that the COVID disaster payment would take the subsidy's place and would kick in when you lose work if your area goes into lockdown. But just after that announcement, the Delta variant emerged in Australia and put everything into doubt.
There are fears it may spread more easily in children, with three already infected.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison immediately closed the borders to India, where the variant was discovered.
There's growing fear and desperation for thousands of Australians tonight over the government's threat to jail or fine anyone who tries to come home from India.
Despite being pretty insistent that New South Wales residents would never face harsh lockdowns again...
It's much easier to lock down because you don't have to worry about anything. It's much more difficult to let people move around when the virus is circulating.
Delta spread with lightning speed. And in June, Gladys Berejiklian announced a strict lockdown.
This is perhaps the scariest period that New South Wales is going through.
It was meant to last for just 2 weeks. In the end, it went for 4 months. Before the year was out, parts of South Australia, Tasmania, the Northern Territory and the ACT had had lockdowns thanks to Delta. We faced a worst-case scenario when COVID broke into remote Aboriginal communities in the Territory.
First Nations Australians are among the world's most discriminated and the world's most disadvantaged.
And the nation's heart went out to Victoria as it entered yet another strict lockdown.
None of us want to be in a situation where we have to lock down again. There is no alternative for us but to listen to our public health experts.
Melburnians had endured 267 days of COVID lockdowns, giving them the unenviable title of the most locked down place in the world. By early December, nearly 5.3 million people had died from COVID around the world. Australia had just over 2,000 deaths, and towards the end of the year, it felt like we were turning a corner.
As the clock struck midnight, Sydney's pub doors were thrown open.
Our vaccination rate meant we could finally enjoy a pint with mates or hug our families again. Things were looking pretty good, and a bit of positivity was returning. Until...
We are concerned that this new variant may pose substantial risk to public health.
Australia pushed back the opening of our borders, again leaving skilled migrants and international students in limbo. And it's not just foreign nationals. With some states and territories keeping their borders shut or imposing restrictions on interstaters, that uncertainty has lingered for domestic travellers who want to see family for Christmas too.
Do you see summer plans being ruined because of Omicron?
Deputy Chief Medical Officer Steph Davis told Hack last week that there's no need to panic about Omicron just yet.
I wouldn't go so far to say summer plans are being ruined. Absolutely not. I think the thing is we've got to accept that COVID has been with us a long time and it's probably going to be with us for a while longer. So what we've just got to keep doing is maintaining all the COVID-safe behaviours we've been doing for as long as, you know, as long as we can remember pretty much now.
Hack on Triple J.
Shalala Medora with that story. Lots of people getting in touch already. Someone says, COVID didn't affect me much. In fact, I didn't have to worry about surprise visits.
Someone else, I live in Queensland and I'm terrified about what's to come with the borders opening. People here are yet to live with COVID and are not very good with wearing masks or social distancing. The virus was already rapidly in those conditions. Yeah, call in. How did COVID-19 affect your life? We are hanging out with Bryce and Ebony from Triple J Breakfast.
Let's go. You know, it's funny that last text, it is such a thing. I feel like everyone's perspective on what the right thing to do with COVID is literally is just where you live. Like, those people overseas coming here to play sport, they're like, why the hell am I doing quarantine? Yeah. We're like, dude, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And then you're in a different state and you feel like, you know, whatever your context is the right one kind of thing.
Totally. And how it was kind of weird, and it would have been the same for you guys, broadcasting to different states where rules were totally different. Some places were in lockdown, others weren't. What was that like?
It was hard because I think Melbourne copped it pretty badly, man. So on one hand, we're trying to, you know, accommodate to that and talk to them. But then on the other hand, you've got people, you know, in WA being like, get over it.
Yeah.
You're carrying on about it all the time.
Yeah, everything's normal. Daniella has called in. What was it like for you?
Hey, yeah, so I'm from Tassie originally and then moved to Melbourne at the beginning of 2020 to start my first year at uni. And to be quite frank, COVID just ruined that whole idea. I had to move back home. Mm. I couldn't really get a settled job because it was either get a job in Tassie but move back in with the parents or, you know, try and live my ideal independent life and get a job in Melbourne. Mm. But that was just never possible. So the whole uni and college experience was just scrapped, and it's probably not going to happen again because, you know, my parents are a little worried about spending that money. Yeah.
Fair enough. That sucks, man.
Yeah. And I think that's something a lot of young people experience is just like missing out on that kind of formative chapter of your life. How are you feeling like going forward to the next year?
COVID completely shifted my mindset in negative and positive ways. Positive though, it made me really see that whilst Tassie is such a beautiful place and I recommend everyone come visit, it is quite small, and when you have grown up here, you see it all pretty quick. So it's made me just want to see the rest of the world.
Mm.
The rest of the world, but it's going to look like maybe 2022 is just travelling around Australia and just seeing some of my own backyard. Yeah.
That sounds cool. Daniella, thanks so much for calling in, and it sounds like you've got a cool 2022 ahead. That thing that Daniella raised is really interesting, right? Like, imagine missing out on things like your graduation or like formals or starting uni or meeting people. Yeah, what was the vibe this year for young people, did you feel?
Oh, it's totally that, man, because, you know, I was speaking to people, even my cousin, like, had done the same thing, moved to go to college and do all this stuff, and that's ripped from you. And I think, you know, you get this sense that, like, everyone was grieving the loss of something in COVID, right? Some kind of milestone, something they were looking forward to, because you spend all that, like, all that time to the last years of high school or whatever. It's like, this is what's awaiting on the other side.
Yeah.
Guess what's going to happen here, blah, 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 blah. And then that's not there. I feel like we sort of definitely felt that.
Definitely,
people.
Yeah. I got pretty anxious over COVID, man. And I felt like a sense that I was like trapped in a way. Do you know what I mean? Couldn't go anywhere. Mm. Had kind of nothing to look forward to. It got kind of dark.
Yeah.
It got kind of dark at one stage. And I think a lot of, even now, it's like I was meant to go to London next week. Do you know what I mean? And it's kind of like, don't know when that's going to happen. It's a bit stressful.
Totally. And that, like, that feeling of trappedness, like, I kind of forgot it. But it was like we were coming into work every day and then it's like, I don't know what's happening next. Nothing's
literally
happening.
Yeah. It was
it's
just
so
a loop.
Weird. Guys, you have a few fans on the text line, actually. Actually, someone says, why aren't B and E asleep? Do we need to call
had
a union for you guys?
Had enough in the break room.
Yeah. Ryan has texted, oh, yeah, I was going to see Ebony play in Sid at the start of this year, just as Delta came along.
Sucks.
He's talking about Delta Goodrum, not he saw her instead.
Aww.
I'm joking.
You would have fell asleep if you went there anyway, bro.
When I was 14. Someone else says COVID did not affect me much. In fact, yeah, I didn't have to worry about me bumping into people. Someone else, it would have helped a lot if the government didn't drop the ball every chance they got. Brutal. But yeah, a lot of people would probably agree in different ways on that. Let's go to Dr. Larissa Labson, who's been talking to us all year. She's a virologist. She's from Queensland University. Thanks so much for coming on the show and chatting to us again about COVID, something that we've gone through a lot, but you especially. What has the year been like for you?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been exhausting. The past 2 years have been pretty full on. But it's been really exciting in how quickly the science has moved to go from discovering a completely new virus to having, you know, booster shots of vaccines now in people's arms is just phenomenal. We've learnt heaps about how the immune system works, how important different parts of the immune system are, how much it can go wrong, how it changes, you know, from being young, you know, so why are kids protected from COVID, to how it kind of isn't as good when it, when you're older. So we've really learned a lot. So it's been fascinating, but I'm also really ready for a holiday.
I think that's what everyone's like. And it has been amazing to see how quickly things, when you do look back, it's like everything's developed so quickly, and that's amazing. How are you feeling about the summer? Obviously, you've got a holiday coming up, but would you travel internationally considering Omicron?
I mean, I'm just staying in Queensland, fortunately. But I think it's still too early to know what's happening with Omicron. I'd hold on a bit longer if that was possible. So we know that it's more transmissible, probably. That's become clear. But what we're not clear about is whether it's causing more severe disease or whether we're seeing hospitalizations and deaths. And, you know, we've also seen a drop in one aspect of vaccine efficacy against Omicron, but we don't know yet how much that's going to translate to people, you know, actually falling really sick with Omicron and et cetera. So we need more epidemiological data to be able to make those calls. Mm. So, and, you know, there's always just a lag time between when people catch the virus and when they start to get really sick with it, right? So, you know, best case scenario, Omicron is less severe than the previous variants. And so even if you catch it, it means that you will only have mild symptoms maybe or no symptoms at all. But it's really still too early to say that. But we do know that the boosters are working against it. So the boosters are a great way to go. So at least get your first vaxes, and then when you're able, get that booster shot in your arm, and that should definitely protect you.
That's literally my silver lining at the moment, right? I feel like throughout the whole pandemic, there's all these different things you're like looking forward and hoping and hopeful for. It's literally just that Omicron's maybe a bit more chill. It's kind of what I've got my fingers crossed for at the moment, you know?
I know. I don't want everyone to pin too much hope on it, though.
Oh, okay. All right. Next question.
I'm sorry.
It's the cautious optimism. Cautious optimism.
Yeah, exactly. Still take all the precautions that you can. Just don't catch any COVID, and that's the best option.
Yeah, we'll sort that out. Dr. Larissa Labson, thanks so much for talking to us and, like, yeah, the amazing work you've done. I remember once you came on the show and you would run from the lab and you were actually working with COVID, like the actual thing in front of you, which is wild to
think
insane. About.
That's insane. That's cool.
Yeah, that's what we do here. So we have to work in special laboratories called physical containment level 3. And we have to wear the full like hazmat suits and PAPRs. So we breathe through a filter and have a big hood on. So it's always quite challenging working in that environment.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been very exciting to be a scientist and the thing that you study to be like the forefront of the world's attention. So you really feel like, you know, you're going and doing and important stuff every day. So
it definitely is. Dr. Larissa Labson, thanks so much for chatting through all of it with us and, all the work that you've done as well. So many people getting in touch. My business boomed, went from 3 staff to 15. We sell alcohol online. Someone else, this is so sweet. In addition to Bryce and Amity, I would say that Triple J got many of us working from home through the loneliness of staring at a screen. It's very sweet.
Thanks,
Maz from Melbourne. I actually feel super lucky this year despite COVID sticking around in 2021. Got engaged, bought, renovated and moved into my first home.
Jeez.
Found out I'm going to be an auntie and got a new amazing job.
Bro,
congratulations.
And actually, I feel
how
like
good.
We're finally like at this point where we can acknowledge people that had good things happen in the last 2 years and not have to be like, but, where, and just remember.
I
like,
know. There was a bit of awkwardness like posting anything happy at the time.
Totally.
Maybe we should do like an influx like next week. It's like happy posts.
Delayed, posts of those kind of things,
You are listening to Hack on Triple J. I'm Avani Dias, and this week, we're looking back at the big stories of the year. Of course, we're chatting about COVID today with Bryce and Ebony from Triple J Breakfast.
Hack. You could go and buy a Louis Vuitton bag in Bondi, and now if you're buying groceries in Fairfield, you'll get a different type of reaction.
On Triple J.
The reason restrictions are finally starting to lift is because of the vaccines. We're about to hit 90% of Australians over 16 double-dosed, which is huge, but it has been a very patchy road to get here. Young people were the last to get access to the vaccine, and just over the weekend, the health advice has changed. So you can get a booster shot after 5 months from your second vaccine instead of six. Call me. How are you feeling now that you are vaccinated and getting out into the world? And yeah, give us your shout outs. Who got you through COVID this year? 1-300-055-36. Maybe it was a family member, colleague, work people, postman. 1-300-055-36. Want your shout outs. And yeah, what you're looking forward to.
At the start of the year, the vaccine rollout was all about being slow and steady.
It's not a race. You've got to get it right. It's got to be safe.
It's not a race. It's not a competition.
It's not a race. It's not a competition.
You know, it's not a race. It's not a competition.
But before too long, it became pretty clear that actually it was a race and Australians were lagging behind the rest of the world. Towards the start of the year, our vax rates were pretty sluggish. We'd planned to make AstraZeneca here, and it was for a while our preferred vaccine. And then...
Scientists believe they may have found the trigger behind the extremely rare blood clot complications from the AstraZeneca vaccine.
In April, the PM and Chief Medical Officer called a late-night press conference after news of the small risk of blood clots emerged, saying Pfizer should be the preferred vaccine for young people.
At the current time, the use of the Pfizer vaccine is preferred over the AstraZeneca vaccine in adults aged less than 50 years.
The states and territories added to the sense of mistrust.
I do not want under 40s to get AstraZeneca.
And that made a few older people nervous, so they chose to wait for Pfizer too. The only thing was, we didn't have enough to go around, and the government scrambled to get Pfizer from other parts of the world.
We have been in discussions with the Polish government now for several weeks, and we have secured an additional just over 1 million doses of Pfizer, and they'll start landing in Australia from tonight.
In June, Sydney went into lockdown after Delta hit our shores. Melbourne, Canberra and other parts of the country followed shortly afterwards. And suddenly, vax rates lifted. The government made AZ available to everyone.
New South Wales now has a higher percentage of the population vaccinated in front of Italy, France, the United Kingdom, even Israel.
A lot of the country got to 70% at lightning speed. In fact, now, over 98% of Canberrans are fully vaxxed. That's the highest rate in the whole world. And by August, we had Moderna as a vaccine option too. Pretty soon everyone was getting jack of COVID and the states and territories joined the feds to come up with a plan for reopening.
National Cabinet has agreed to new vaccination targets to ease restrictions and reopen Australia. The next stage will be triggered when 70% of the population is vaccinated.
Of course, not everyone stuck to that plan. WA's borders are still closed to the rest of the country.
We are many and we are beautiful.
States and territories, as well as industries and individual businesses, started to bring in vaccine mandates. And a lot of people didn't like it. Anti-mandate and anti-vaccination protests swept the country. Victoria saw the largest protests and the most violent.
I look forward to the day I get to see you dance on the end of a rope, you evil little...
And while all this was happening, booster shots are being rolled out. The chief medical officer says people can access them 5 months after being fully vaxxed, instead of the initially recommended six, to protect from the new variant.
We're still learning about Omicron, but that evidence seems to be coming out of the lab.
Meanwhile, families are being split by the decision to vaccinate or not vaccinate.
It's not a vaccine. It doesn't fall under the category of a vaccine. It's not FDA approved.
Why are you trying to buy me off with it, though?
Because I love you. Why do you think I want to buy you off?
Which makes for a potentially awkward Christmas lunch.
Today, I got the vaccine, so... And my dad doesn't know that because he would just freak out again if I told him.
Hack on Triple J.
Shalala Medora there, looking back on that vaccine rollout and how it all panned out. We are hanging out with Bryce and Ebony from Triple J Breakfast, looking back on the year of COVID. Let's speak to Marcus now, who's called in. Yeah, we asked for shout-outs from people who are listening. Who is your shout-out for during this year in COVID?
Mine was for Dr. Adelaide. She was one of the ICU doctors in the John Hunter Hospital up in Newcastle.
And why are you giving her a shout out?
My wife, the whole family contracted COVID.
Wow.
My wife was the most severely affected. She ended up spending 7 weeks in ICU. It's still quite hard to talk about.
Yeah, of course.
She was one doctor who was worried about how the rest of us were, not just how my wife was as a patient. She was making, because we were all still sick with COVID as well, but she was also making sure that I was okay mentally dealing with what I had to deal with my own illnesses, as well as my wife being on a ventilator and sedated and knocked out. So,
it's just kind of, this year has made us really appreciate doctors, scientists, any medical profession.
100%.
Marcus, how's your wife now after that care from that doctor?
She's still recovering. It's only it's been, I think, 13 weeks now. And she's just started to get off her oxygen supply that she came home with from the hospital. The thing with Dr. Adelaide was that care and everything that she showed. I had a doctor before her that was on a different, roster, who, when he gave me an update of how my wife was going, he actually told me to prepare for a funeral.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just, it is crazy that, Dr. Adelaide was able to do so much for your family and also care for your mental health. Like, it's just incredible that one person can do so much. So,
glad you're healthy as well, man, and your wife's doing better.
Shout out to Dr. Adelaide.
We're all getting better. The kids all got it as well. We're not sure how it came into the household. We tried everything. We were getting home deliveries of groceries for 2 months previous. We'd been registered to get the vaccination for 2 months before we caught COVID. The week that COVID made its way into our household was the week we were supposed to get our first vaccination.
Oh, that's horrible. And, it is strange now, right? We've got like 90% nearly double dose this week. And it is, young people struggle to get the vaccine. Yeah. It was really hard.
And that was the thing with us. We booked 2 months previous, back in, I think, June to get the first shot of our vaccine, but then the availability wasn't there, and it was really frustrating listening to people, like politicians, say, well, what if we give a $300 incentive or whatever to get vaccinated? It was like, people, I don't need the incentive. I need the availability.
Totally. Hey, Marcus, thank you so much for calling in, and good luck to your family, and massive shout-outs to Dr. Adelaide.
No doubt.
That is Marcus. Thanks so much for calling in. We are nearly going to wrap up the show. It's gone so quickly. But guys, we finished 2 years of COVID. I feel like the entire world needs a pat on the back about that. But how are you feeling about summer coming up?
Oh, well, as I mentioned, I was meant to go to London. That's not happening. I've been looking at booking something else. It doesn't look like that's going to happen either. But I'm going to play some sets, so that'll be fun, hopefully. At least live music will open up a little bit. Something to be hopeful about.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sort of back and forth, man. I'm a little low-key spook sometimes. Philly Fest was sick. We went there the other week, and
that was cool.
It was all good. Man, I'm not planning too much at the moment. I don't know. I'm still a bit like one day at a time from all this stuff, man.
And then 2022, maybe you can actually go and meet people from the audience.
That was the crazy thing about the last couple of weeks. We actually got to do that. It's like, oh, it's not a screen. Hey, oh, you heard that. Oh, sick,
Totally, yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on the show and, getting us all through COVID, through breakfast.
Hey, that's...
You too.
That's what you did, bro. No, Hack was the one that did that. We just came on and played boing, boing noises all morning.
No, that's what people need. So many people texting in being like, this got me through the pandemic. So I think there's a lot of love for Triple J and for you guys.
That's really awesome. Nice, for real.
Truly a pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us,
Thank you, man.
So many people texting in. I'm double vaccinated and have been since April. I recently had COVID, but I can't imagine what it would have been like if I was unvaccinated and getting COVID as well. Someone else, COVID forced me to face my fears and end a relationship. It was what was necessary and what I wanted. Yeah, a lot of people seeing silver linings through COVID, which is really nice. Yeah, the rest of the week on Hack, we are looking back
on big events of the year. And tomorrow we're talking about the women's movement with Grace Tame, Chanel Contos, the schools petition. So much has happened in this vein. Lots of politicians actually stepping down as a result. So, yeah, want all your calls tomorrow at 5:30 as well. Until then,
thanks so much for listening to this episode of Hack. Catch you on the next one.